So we start a new book, the book or Sefer Devarim. And I'm going to do something which I really shouldn't do because I'm jumping in the middle of the chapter. And I really do get the sense that to understand this properly, and if I would do this in the proper way, we would just solve everything immediately. But let's at least make believe that there's a problem by starting in the middle and then being a little bit confused. Moshe's giving a speech, and really the way to learn Sefer Devarim is to see the speech or speeches that Moshe gives and see them as wholes. And when you see the speech as a whole, then you'll be able to understand the individual parts. And the mistake that we're making now, which is a trap which I think everyone falls into, is that we break it up into little pieces, and then we see something out of context and we ask, wow, what does that mean? So we're going to do that now. We're just going to make that same mistake right now. And the problem is, I want to look at the first source and jump towards the end of it, in Pasuk Lamed Dalid. Vayishma Hashem et kol divreichem. So just in case you don't know where we're up to, he's retelling the story of the spies. He's retelling what happens when you asked and we sent them and they went, and this didn't work out very well. And then you started to complain and to cry, and God hates us, and so on. Vayishma Hashem kol divreichem, and God heard the sound of your words. Vayiktsof, God was angry. Vayishava lemor, and God swore, saying, Im yireh ish ban Hashem eila dor hara hazeh et haaretz et havar asher nishbati latet lavoteichem. He goes, not one person of this generation, of this evil, terrible generation, is going to see the land which I promised to their forefathers. Which means you have a complex statement here that God is going to keep his word, the land will go to the people of Israel, but just not to this particular generation, except, and here's the exception, Zulati Kalev ben Yefuneh, hu yirena, except for Kalev, he's going to see the land, v'lo etena ta'aretz eshed derachba, Ulavanav, and to him and his children, the land that he walked on will go to him and his children. Ya'an Hashem milei acharei Hashem, because he followed the word of God. If we'll skip Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Chet says, Yeshua ben Nun omed lefanecha, hu yavot shama oto chazek, ki hu yanchilenu et Yisrael. And Yeshua is going to go in. So as I said again, and just in case we're confused, so we have Kalev is going to go, Yeshua is going to go, those are the two positive spies. The negative spies are not going to be able to go in, and then everything makes perfect sense, everything's fine, except for Pasuk Lamed Zayin. And Pasuk Lamed Zayin is our problem. And by the way, this is not the first time it's our problem. It's been our problem for many years. It continues to be our problem. What's the problem with Lamed Zayin? Gam bi hitanaf Hashem biglalchem lemor, gam ata lo tavoshan. And God got upset with me because of you, saying, and you also are going to go there, and then it flows into, and Yehoshua is going to go in and going to take the place. In the past, we've spoken about, not really here, more so in Shlach, about the different responses between Kalev and Yehoshua, and why they may be treated differently over here as well. Kalev is the first one who stands up to the spies while Yehoshua is still silent. Only subsequently does Yehoshua get involved as well over here for his more proactive response. He's actually apparently rewarded and said, no, he will go into the land, but and it's a little questionable why Yehoshua is going in, because again, initially he didn't respond, later on he does respond, but it sounds like Yehoshua is going in not because of his response there, or really he's going in because he is the one who's going to be taking Moshe's place, and he's the next leader, and therefore he's going in. Now, how do we understand this when Moshe says, yeah, and because of you I'm not going in? So, I don't know. There was a parsha a couple of weeks ago. It was back in Parshat Chukat. What does it say in Parshat Chukat? That God says, speak to the rock, and he hits the rock, and after he hits the rock, he says, okay, that's it. You're not going. So Moshe's not going into the land of Israel is not related to the sin of the spies. It's related to his hitting the rock. So why in the world is he mentioning it over here? Now, the most radical, yeah, but still saying it within this context is a little difficult. The most radical interpretation, I believe it's the Abarbanel, who says, correct, Moshe's not going to the land really because of the spies, and it's a cover-up, and really Aaron doesn't go into the land because of the sin of the golden calf. Those are the two main sins. And everything else is a cover-up. Well, that's great that God was in on the cover-up and only, you know, the Barbanel figured out. But over here you have a verse where Moshe is saying, yeah, because of you, I'm not going in. And it is being said in the middle of the Golden Gate. Now, I can say, I can nuance it a little differently. And maybe that way it'll be a little easier. But I'm not going to stay with this, even though I do think that this is correct. That it could be that, what did God say? That this whole generation is not going in. Hador hara hazeh. This generation is not going in. So what makes up a generation? So a generation is everybody, including Moshe. So if the generation is not going in, so then Moshe is not going in. Moshe is part of this generation. So therefore, when God gives a decree that this whole generation is not going in, so Moshe says, and I'm included as well. So, meaning, that's not a terrible way of looking at it, that Moshe is included. Although, I'm going to go back and say that there's still a problem with this. And the problem is, ignoring Parshat Chukat is still the problem. Right. So here God is saying, no, these two are not. These two are the exceptions. Really, Kalev really is part of the generation, therefore he's getting a reward. Yeshua is really part of the generation, but he's the one who's taking over. But then you realize just as easily as you can say that if they're part of the generation and an exception is being made, so why is not the exception being made for Moshe instead? So correct. It's also quite interesting. Where's Moshe buried eventually? Yeah, but it says right near Pa'or. Right near Pa'or, which means, and again, there's a lot about this, that Moshe needs to help bring healing to the people for the sins that they've done. He is part of this sinful generation who stay on the other side. They're all buried on the other side, and he needs to be there as well. He's the leader, and the leader bears some type of responsibility. So as I said, that's what makes this a little bit difficult. Again, what's difficult is source number 8, Perek Kaf in Bamidbar. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon ya'an lo emandem bi lahakdisheni le'nei b'nei Yisrael l'chein lo tavio takal hazeh el ha'aret asher natati lahem. Second half of the verses, and therefore, you like the way I'm skipping the first part, and therefore, you're not going to lead this generation to the land which I've given them. The first part is what's interesting. Ya'an, because lo emandem bi. What it sounds like is that you did not have, what would you say the word hemantembi means? Faith, emunah. That you did not have emunah. Lanlo hemantembi lahakdisheni. You did not have emunah to sanctify me, l'nei b'nei Yisrael. So what does that mean when it says that Moshe doesn't have faith? I mean, Moshe not having faith is a very, very frightful thought. Keep in mind one word in that verse. The context you know. What is it? Moshe's not leading them in. Keep in mind one word. And what word is that? The most difficult word. Which word is that? Hemantem. That there's a lack of faith over here. Because I think that that's going to be the key. Now, let's go back to where we began. Go back a little bit more. Again, being completely unfair. Reading out of context. Cherry picking. Pasuk Lamed Bet in source number 1. Uvedavar hazeh. And when it came to this particular thing, Einchem, what's the next word? Ma'aminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. You did not have faith in God. So one thing that I'm pointing out is that this lack of faith ascribed to Moshe is echoed over here by Moshe in his speech talking about a lack of faith of the people. So when the death of Moshe is wrapped up in a lack of emunah, and we find the word of emunah over here, so at least I hope that you will realize that we now have a direction that we need to go. Again, and quite frankly, it was the use of the word emunah here, which was for me really the starting point. So now let's be a little bit more fair and go back into context, because what is this talking about, that you did not have emunah? If we move back a couple of verses, again, going to the beginning of this section, it's Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Re'ei natan Hashem Elokecha lefanecha et ha'aretz, alei reish ka'asher diber Hashem Elokei avotecha, la'ach al tira v'al tichat. So now, here is where I want to go a little bit broader to understand where we're up to. Sefer Dvarim again, is a series of speeches of Moshe. The first speech has a very long preamble, and if you look in Rashi, you'll get lost in the preamble, because Rashi will have so many references along the way, so I want to separate the speech from Rashi, and just, I'm going to read the words. You don't have this in front of you. Some of the words you'll have a little, you have in another source, but let's just start from the beginning. Because I want you to hear the flow of things to see what is it that Moshe is saying. Eila ha-devarim asher diber Moshe el kol Yisrael ba'ev yarden ba-midbar ba-arvot mul suf ben paran buvin tafel v'levan b'chatzerot v'dei zahav. So you just had a whole verse. These are the words that God said to Moshe, and it gave you a lot of location. Now, of course, that's where Rashi jumps in, giving us the significance of each and every word over here within why that location. What happened there? What happened there? We're skipping all that. So what are we getting out of that first verse? These are the words that God said to Moshe. Okay, good. Acharas hayom mechorev derech har seir ad kadesh barnea, giving us just a piece of information which seems to be completely irrelevant right now. What does it say? 11-day journey from Har Seir to Kadesh Barnea. V'yibarbim shana, and again giving us focus, and in the 40th year, Bashtei Asar Chodesh, Bechad L'Chodesh, Diber Moshe El B'nei Israel. That's what I'm saying. There's a long preamble over here, giving us again, time, place, context, in case you're wondering, what is it that he's saying? What's the basis of the speech that he's saying? What is it? This is what God said to Moshe, and we're getting a real context of where it is. Again, end of the 40 years, towards the very end, Moshe's giving a speech, one of his final speeches, and now it gives you more context. That's why I'm saying the preamble over here just goes on and on. So now it gave us a little bit more context, which means the first battle's already began, we're standing over here, the end of the 40 years, and Moshe's finally going to speak. And what's the first thing that he says? Ken, what? Because as I said, all that was preamble, and that brings us to Pasuk Vav, which source number 9. That's the beginning of the speech now. Everything else was preamble. Where are we? When are we? On what authority is he speaking? And then source number 9 is what Moshe actually says when he starts the speech. Okay, so you ready? Hashem Elokeinu diber eleinu bechorev lemor, rav lechem shevet bahar hazeh. God spoke to us in Chorev saying, Chalas, must speak. Enough. You've been here for too long. That's such an... Again, that's the beginning of... Can we think a second? And again, real big picture analysis. When God speaks to Moshe at the snare, what does he say is the goal? The goal is very simple. What is it? You're going to take these slaves out of Egypt. You're going to take them to the land of Israel, land flowing with milk and honey. And along the way, you're going to make a little stop over there. You're going to serve me on this mountain. And that comes just as a almost as a throwaway along the way. So by the way, we're all completely convinced that where are we going? We're going to the land of Israel. Where's Moshe going to the land of Israel? Where's this whole generation going to the land of Israel? And now we learned, because we have a little experience, and we're 40 years later, and all of them are gone, and Moshe's speaking to the new generation, and he's about to stay along as well, and therefore he never is really getting to the land of Israel. And what an interesting way to start this speech. God said, we're here too long on this mountain. And yes, everything that went wrong because they spent too much time on this mountain, indirectly. You know, when Rashi tells us that the real punishment for 40 years was because of the golden calf, right? Rashi says that. Here's a technical reason. We've discussed this before, but about why. Because when it says Yom L'Shana, it only gets up to... It can't be 40 years because they've already spent a whole year there. Over here again, let's start again. Vayomer, sorry, Hashem Elokeinu diber eleinu b'chorev lemor, rav lechem shevet bahar hazeh, pnu su'u lechem uvo har emori, ve'el kol shchenav, v'arava, baharu shvela uvenegu, v'chof hayam, eretz ekanani v'lavon el nar hagadol nahar prat, ru'u natati lefnechem et ha'aretz, ba'u urishu et ha'aretz, asher nishba Hashem levoteichem, avram litzchaku liyakov, lete'et lehem, lezarem achareyem. So going through Pasuk Chet, what is it that Moshe is saying to them? Go. We're supposed to go to the land of Israel. Why would Moshe focus on this? This was the goal from the very beginning. We've become untracked. We've lost focus. We've wandered. But the wandering over here, in a certain sense, is a metaphor for the wandering of the Jewish people. And I say wandering over here because their lack of focus of what was supposed to happen. They're supposed to spend a very small amount of time. They were not supposed to build a golden calf. They were not supposed to spend all that time by the mountain. They're supposed to go straight to the land of Israel. So over here, what does God finally say? You spend too much time over here. Now I'll tell you, the focus of this entire chapter is about going to the land of Israel. That's the focus. The focus is pick up and go to the land of Israel. Now, as I said, even to get to that first statement was Pasuk Vav, you have to go through five psukim of figuring out where we are and when we are and all the places we've gone through over here. Go. Now let's go backwards a little bit. Source number two is Rashi trying to explain uvidavar hazeh, when it came to this thing, ein chem maminim b'shem elokeichem. When it came to this thing, you did not believe. Now again, if I want to connect the whole thing over here, I'll tell you what I skipped. What I skipped is Moshe's feeling of being overwhelmed. You want to read it? We'll read it. I'm sorry if I keep going back and forth. Moshe feels overwhelmed, and he says back in source number 9, Moshe says, I can't do this by myself. Remember that promise that God made to Avram, you're going to be as numerous as the stars? Over here, Moshe says, you're as numerous as the stars. So Moshe says, I can't do this by myself. By the way, back when it happened, do you remember when Moshe said he felt completely overwhelmed? At which point was that? Where was that more or less when that happened? Right when they leave Sinai. The cloud lifts up. This is back in the end of Perek Yud of Bamidbar. The cloud lifts up and they leave. And when does Moshe say, I can't do this myself? Perek Yud Aleph. Which means the whole time that they're encamped by Har Sinai, Moshe's okay. Moshe says, this is overwhelming. So again, that's also interesting as you read Sefer Devarim, is just to see, you know, which pieces of the puzzle is Moshe explaining. So here he's going back telling you about Perek Yud Aleph. He then says, I can't do this by myself. And then over here in the middle of Perek Aleph of Devarim, he describes what kind of people we need. So here it goes into a little bit of a side point about leadership, but the leadership for what purpose? What's the focus? Are we all together? The focus is to go to the land of Israel. So I need other people to help in order to go to the land of Israel. Then Moshe says something which is very interesting, which leads us right over here, right to where we started our first source, and that is, and then you suggested, why don't we take some of the leadership, I do want to use that word, and why don't we use them and send them off to take a look at the land to see how it is. So over here you have Moshe needing leadership, Moshe, God approving, whatever, this is a good idea, let's get leadership. The leadership then is sent to the land of Israel, and then what happens? Catastrophe. And then we get into the sin of the spies, and we end up 40 years. So now, going back again, back in source number 1, Re'ei natan Hashem Elokech lefanecha et ha'aretz. Alei reish kasher diber Hashem Elokech. You notice the focus is exactly the same. See, God gave you this land. What does it say? Alei reish. What does that mean, alei reish? Go and inherit it. Kasher diber Hashem Elokei avotecha. Lach alti reva altichat. Go, don't be afraid. Yala. Vatikrevune like kulchem vatomru nishlecha anashim lefaneinu. And that's when the first suggestion of the spies comes in. Pasuk Yud Gimel Vayitav Be'inai Adavar. I thought it was a good idea. Pasuk Kaf Dalid. You went and this is the way that you traveled. You spied the land. Ve'chul Bi'adam. You took from the fruit of the land. You came back and you said, but we can't, the land is too difficult. We cannot capture it. Pasuk Kaf Zayin Ve'teragnu Ba'ohaleichem. You complained, you murmured in your tents, Vatomru b'sinat Hashem otanu, that the reason God took us out, Hotzianu me'eretz Yisrael, is because He hates us. Letedo Tanim Miyadim Rila Shmir. By the way, notice how we lost focus? What's the focus of Moshe? The land of Israel. What are the people saying? Oh, we're here just to die in the desert. These people made you all scared. And I said, don't be afraid. God goes in front of you. God is going to fight for you. Remember, we just left Egypt. Remember all the miracles. What are you worried about? And God carried you in the desert like a father would carry his young child. When it came to this matter, you do not believe in God. So this is the word where the emunah comes into it. Now let's look how Rashi explains it. Uvedavar hazeh, Rashi writes, shehu mavticham laviyacham el haaretz, einchem maaminim. That God has promised you and guaranteed you that he is going to bring you to the land, that is where your lack of emunah is focused. So again, let's regroup. The people will be punished and told they have to remain for 40 years. Moshe is going to say, and then I was punished as well because of you, and we're not exactly clear why. When Moshe is punished himself, why is he punished? He's punished because he hits the rock, and what does God say to him? Because you didn't believe in God. Lo imantim, right? Be lakdisheni. You didn't believe in God to sanctify me. Over here we're told that Moshe says to them, because you did not believe in God, and that's why I said we need to begin to wonder, so what exactly is the relationship? Now, Rashi told us, what does it mean here when Moshe says that you don't believe in God? God said, I'm taking the land. The Bechor Shor, in source 3, Uvedivar zeinichem aminim, asher asai imachem kol gdolot v'hanarot. Einchem aminim bo shetzliach itchem v'yulachem bitmiha. Meaning, have you already forgotten all the things that God has done? Essentially, what is Moshe's argument here? It's a very simple argument. Look what was done till now, extrapolate from that, and that's going to be the next thing as well. He did all these miracles to get you out of Egypt. He will take you to the land of Israel. What's the problem? The Netziv writes, Ubudavar hazeh, source 7, Ubudavar hazeh, when it comes to this thing, you didn't believe in me, B'masha amar Hashem b'har chorev, bo'u urshu et ha'aretz. So what did the Netziv just now do? And I was looking for this. I was waiting for someone to say this. What did the Netziv just now do? He connected it back to the very beginning of the speech. That was source number 9. Hashem Elokeinu diber lein b'chor v'lemar rav lechem shevet b'har hazeh. Get up and go. It's the next pasuk. Bo'u urshu et ha'aretz. Pasuk chet. Go. So your lack of belief, again, if you look at the way the Netziv is looking at it, he brings it back to the moment that they need to leave the mountain, that there's this hesitation taking place there. It's leaving the mountain is somehow taking place the wrong way. Go, there's a lack of emunah right there when they need to go. And again, what Rashi is doing is that he's saying is the lack of emunah is about going into land future-oriented, and he's saying is no, that lack of emunah was already in the past when you left the mountain, and therefore everything else which happened afterwards followed that point. Moshe's speaking to Klal Yisrael, and he's talking with Klal Yisrael as a whole. There will be a number of times in his speech that he will delineate and he will separate, and he will say to this group or to that group, and there will be different focus. In this particular moment, he's speaking about how we got to where we are today, and he talks about the whole. He talks about the entire group, and correct, it's still talking about the past, but as I said, just notice the difference between what Rashi did, forward-oriented, the lack of emunah was the inability in their minds to go into the land, while the lack of emunah, as far as the Netziv was concerned, went all the way back at that first moment, again, really the beginning of the speech, pick up and go. So he says, that's what you didn't believe in. The lack of emunah was there. By the way, I just want to warn you all, you're about to get a Zionist speech right now. Go ahead. So thank you for a word from our sponsor. But But I do want to say again that when Moshe finally starts his speech, how does he start it? Hashem Elokeinu diber eleinu b'chorev lema rav lechem shevet bahar hazeh. That meaning that's God's response over here. Like enough. Move on.
Well, because they confuse the Ikar with themselves.
Perhaps.
There's
a midrash quoted by Tosfot that says when they left Sinai, they left that kids who ran, like as soon as the school bell rings. They ran out of there because they didn't want any more mitzvot. Correct. That talks more about the
running away.
Yeah, that's more about that they had enough of this holiness, but correct. Just waking up, and Naomi was, you know, obviously she's correct in terms of the larger historical context, and I say larger, I'm you know, 3,000 year historical context of sometimes forgetting the direction of where we're supposed to go to. I mean, there is a destiny of the Jewish people, and the word destiny is connected to destination. And sometimes there are people who just forget what that destination is, and they get stuck in whatever their present, and they confuse themselves into thinking that the present is really where I'm supposed to end up. So this destiny, this destination, it is really what Moshe is saying. And again, I'll tell you, after everything is done, we finish the shir, go back and just read the first parak, or the first couple parakim, if you will, of Sefer Dvarim, and just look what Moshe is saying to them. Read the words of the Chumash over here. Moshe has a very particular focus. The focus is, go to the land of Israel, but as I said, what were the elements? The elements were, God said, go. I felt overwhelmed. Needed other people. Okay, we got other people. The people wanted to send other people to go and see the land. That's the spies. They went in, catastrophe, and we ended up getting stuck here for 40 years, and all of you, meaning last generation, are gone, and that's why we now have this new generation in front of us. And what is Moshe's point going to be now? Don't lose focus. Remember what the destination is. But again, what was our starting point? What was our point? One has to be a little careful. The Rav did speak about the difference of Jews who are, the difference between fate versus destiny. That was for him a major distinction. And he says that, are we Jews based upon fate, that you happen to be born Jewish? Or are you Jew based upon destiny, that you see where you're going with your Judaism? But the word destiny and destination are certainly related, and is there? They're certainly related, and the locale. I don't know what else to say. I mean, anybody who's read through Navi will know that the location is significant, and for that matter, this is what Moshe's speech is. That's exactly the point over here, that Moshe's speech is about going to the land of Israel, and again, it's very, very focused. Now, I want to again remind you where we began, because I know that we're jumping around a little bit, so where did we begin? We began with Moshe saying, and I also, because of you, suffered this punishment, and that's where we got a little bit confused. Now, I want to point something out. This idea of emunah, for lack of a better word, emunah, we'll translate it as belief, faith. Emunah is stability as well. This is something which maybe we never noticed, but it's there many, many times within Moshe's life and key points of his life. It's there. You know, we've pointed out before that in Moshe's life there's always rocks and water. It's always going back between rocks and water. From when he's put in the water, the rock, behind the rock, they hit the rock, the water coming. There's rock and water all over Moshe, from being taken from the water, Moshe. It's always rock and water. So here we're throwing another element in. When Moshe first is approached by God, so that would be in Source 19, maybe we forgot, or maybe we didn't notice, or maybe we didn't connect it. And you know, it's really easy when you look at my sources. You just have to look at what's bolded, and then you know that that's what I'm interested in. Vayan Moshe v'yomer v'hem lo yaminu bi. They will not believe in me. Again, emunah. The people will not have emunah in me. In Pasuk Hey, l'man yaminu, right? V'hayim lo yaminu, right? V'heminu. This whole discussion between God and Moshe is regarding the question, will the people believe? And you have to love God's answer in Pasachet. And if they don't believe, Moshe just said they're not going to believe. No, they will believe. But if they don't believe, kol ha'ot ha'acharon. They'll listen to the second sign. By the way, can you imagine this must be driving Moshe crazy? Moshe says that they're not going to believe in me. No, they will believe in you. But what if they don't believe in me? Well, they won't. Well, they will believe. But if they don't believe, they'll believe in this. Don't believe in this, they'll believe in this. If not, then this, then this. Which really, anybody ever wondered about people having free will? Right? God is saying, yeah, they're going to have free will. They're going to believe in you, but they're going to have free will. But what's the problem? They're going to believe in you. But what's the problem? God says they will believe in you. And I'll say it again, but what's the problem? They will believe in you. Right, they will believe in you, but they'll just forget about it every now and again. And therefore, we're going to see so many places that they believe, but the only problem is that they forget occasionally. And finally we get to Pasuk Lamed, which is the end of this, which is really they're not standing by this anymore. Vayedaber Aaron et kol hadvarim asher dibar Hashem el Moshe, Vayas ha'otot le'nei ha'am, and he did the tricks for them, you know, the stick and whatever. Vayamein ha'am, they believed. Okay, there you go. They had emunah. And then we get to source 20. Vayar Yisrael sayad gdola she'asa Hashem b'mitzrayim, vayura amet Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem el Moshe avdo. They believed. Well, what happened? They believed before. No, they believe. We get to Perek Yutet. Vayomar Hashem Moshe, Neno chiboy lecha ba'av ha'anan, ba'avu yishma ha'am b'dabri imach, v'gam b'cha ya'aminu la'olam. They're going to believe in you for forever. And they do. The only problem is not everybody. And even the people, and not every day, but forever. But this is interesting, because again, you didn't necessarily notice this issue of belief coming back again and again and again. And there's two more instances that I want to explore, and those two instances are the ones which to me are far more interesting. Source 13, and it's the strange usage of the word emunah, which is always more interesting to me. Every case I just now showed you was more normal. Vayas Yehoshua kasher amar lo Moshe lilachem ba'amalek. So now we know the context. Umoshe Aaron v'chur alu rosh ha'giv'ah. So we had another water and rock incident immediately before then, and the people questioned whether God was with them or not. What happened? Vayaminu b'Hashem Moshe avdo. God splits the sea, they believe. And though there's no water, they don't believe. And that's exactly the problem. Amalek then attacks. V'haya kasher yarim Moshe yado, when Moshe would lift up his arms, v'gavar Yisrael, v'kasher yaniach yado, v'gavar Amalek. So when Moshe lifts his arms, the Jews are victorious. Takes his arms down, Amalek is victorious. V'yidei Moshe kvedim, and Moshe's arms get heavy. V'yichu Evin, by the way, notice a rock always gets back into it. V'yichu Evin, and they took a rock, v'yasimu tachtav, and they put a rock under him, v'yeshev aleha, and Moshe sits on the rock. V'aron v'chur tamchu biyadav, and Aaron and Hur, they hold up his hands. They help. And here we have another instance that Moshe needs help. Moshe can't do this by himself. Mize achad u mize achad, v'yehi yadav emunah ad bo hashamesh. And Moshe's hands were, now how should I translate this word? Moshe's hands were sturdy, steady. But you notice the word emunah over here, right here in the middle. But it's not just the use of the word emunah. It's this other element which I find more interesting. And what's the other element? Is that Moshe needs his hands to be lifted up. It's that there is this symbiotic relationship taking place between Moshe and the Jewish people. Moshe is the one who gives faith to the Jewish people, but it's the Jewish people who are the ones who give strength to Moshe. When Moshe lifts his hands, the Jews are victorious. But who is it that holds Moshe's hands up? So that's Moshe, that's Aaron and Hur holding up his hands. That means that Moshe has the ability of lifting the people, but the people need to lift Moshe. And you realize now that this relationship is so much more interesting than we would have realized. I guess what I'm saying is that we all need our rabbis to give us inspiration, but we need to hold them up as well to inspire them to be able to inspire us. It just doesn't happen by itself. That these things need to take place together. But over here, the fascinating description over here, on the one hand, the arms of Moshe, again, being, and the mission says, no, it doesn't mean that. When he focuses them up on heaven, it's not that Moshe's hands are themselves miraculous, but Yedei Moshe Emunah. Yidei Moshe Emunah, and I'm going to go back and say it again. The word Emunah has a lot of various ways of being expressed. And I want to go back to another place, because as far as I'm concerned, this may very well be the key, and with this we'll be able to understand what's going on. Do you remember where things began to go wrong? Okay, let me try again. We're going to go back again to source number 9. Source number 9 was finally giving that speech. Go, leave, go. Right? You've been here too long. Right? We need to travel, we need to the land of Israel. Bo Rishua to Aretz. And the Netziv told us that that was the point that the people don't have the Emunah. Remember? That was the point they don't have the Emunah. What does the next pasuk say? I can't carry you by myself. Now the people need Moshe, but Moshe says I can't do it by myself. Again, what I want you to realize is that we have in a certain sense a replay of what took place by the war against Amalek, where Moshe needs to be uplifted by the people. Do any of us remember how that verse was actually articulated in Sefer Bamidbar? Was that too obscure of a question? When Moshe says, I can't do this by myself, how was that articulated back in Sefer Bamidbar when Moshe says, I just can't do this? It's in source number 10. Vayomer Moshe el Hashem, lama hariota la'avdecha v'lama lo matzachein be'inecha. This was Moshe's famous suicide speech. Vayom Moshe says to God, why have you made things so difficult for me? You don't like me? You've put the whole burden of this people on top of me. Hanochi hariti et kol ha'am hazeh? Imanochi eladitihu? Did I give birth to these people? Ki tomar elai, because you say to me, sa'eu b'chekecha, you should hold them in your bosom, kasher yisa ha'omen et hayonek. So, which word am I really interested in? And what does ha'omen mean? You realize how funny it is when we learn Torah in English? When we learn Torah in English, we would have missed everything that I taught today. Because when Moshe's hands were up, it would have said his hands are steady. The word emunah would have been ignored. Over here, what's the word omen mean? But what does the word mean in this? Somebody who's a caretaker, a nurse, or somebody who's But it's interesting, a mentor, but the image that... We got caught up in the image. Moshe says, am I their mother? Moshe said, did I give birth to them? Am I the one who's supposed to nurse them along the way? And that's probably more or less the way that we would have... by the way, what's God's answer? Yes. Yes. Yes, that's the answer. Yes, you are. But now, what I cannot ignore is what is the word which is used. The word is omen. Yisa omen atayonek. The same way that the nurse is going to carry the child who's suckling. And Moshe is saying, is that what I am? Let's just read a little bit more. To where? Al ha'adamar shenishbat el avotav. Am I the one who's going to have to carry carry a child? Me'en li basar latet l'kol ha'amazeh kiv ko'alai le'mor t'nu li basar v'nocheila. So Moshe leaves the larger, again, destination, land of Israel. How am I going to feed them? And goes right back to the here and now. How am I going to feed them? I can't do this by myself. Now, at the same time that you're reading that, you go back and you look, and again, right on top of it, source number 9, I can't carry you by myself. That's exactly where it says. And here Moshe says to God, just please shoot me. Shoot me already. I can't do this anymore. But what's interesting, it's the word emunah. So now when I go back, did you all realize what I just now did? Or no? What was I wondering about? I was wondering in source number 1 about the use of the word uvedavar hazeh inchem ma'aminim b'shem elokeichem. That Moshe points at them and says, you don't believe in God. Now, what was that thing that you don't believe in God about? Where is this lack of emunah? So again, do we go forward, do we go backwards? So what do the Netziv say? No, we go backwards. To where? To right when God says, it's time to leave. What did Moshe say when it was time to leave? What happened at that juncture when Moshe tells the story? What happens? What does Moshe say? I can't do it by myself. So if I can't do it by myself, so what do I need? Now go back and say it again. We saw this clearly on top of the mountain. We saw this clearly during the war against Amalek. At the same time, by the way, what's taking place below? That's what's really interesting. You have Yeshua fighting a conventional battle below and Moshe fighting a spiritual battle above. For Moshe's spiritual battle to take place, what do we need? We need Moshe is not, you know, this isolated individual separated from the people. Where does Moshe get his strength? He gets his strength from Am Yisrael. What is Moshe significant as being the leader of Am Yisrael? It's not that if you just take Moshe and you stick him someplace else on Moshe. Yes, Moshe was great, but Moshe's strength, it's exactly what we're learning, is coming from Am Yisrael. Moshe, though, needs, again, it goes back and forth. He gets strength from them, but he needs, they get strength from him, but he needs a support system as well. When the people reject Moshe, what do they end up with? That's what's interesting. What do they end up with? Just Yehoshua. When I say just Yehoshua, what does that mean? Just a conventional leader. Just a conventional fighting. Which means Yehoshua's fighting below. You don't support Moshe, you lose Moshe. What do you have? You have Yehoshua. So Yeshua's going to go. And that's exactly, when you read those verses, now it jumps out at you. Moshe says, because of you, I can't go in. What does it mean, because of you? Because Moshe says, there was no support over here. Moshe is saying, I can't do this by myself. Am I an Omein? And again, what is an omein? That's really, I guess, what the key is. What is an omein? So within the metaphor which is used here, the omein is the nurse who then gives over sustenance to the child. And what is it when you leave the metaphor? The omein is the one who gives emunah to the people. And Moshe says to God, am I the omein? And what does God say? Yes. Yes, you're the omein. But what? But I need help. Of course you need help. You can't do this by yourself. So then what happens? He gets the help. And what does the help do? They turn on him. It's worse than that. It's worse than that. The help that he ends up getting as he's telling the story here in Dvarim, the help, and again, I'm going to just read the speech. Too long in the land, too long by Sinai, we need to start going. I can't do this by myself. Goes into this subtopic of other leaders and what and the qualities of other leaders. Then it goes, and you approach and said, let's send people. Good, so we chose the important, significant people to go. And what happened to those people who went to the land? They were lost. There were people who had no sense. There were people who did not understand the destiny of the Jewish people. There were people who believed that God hates us. The people who believe that we should be staying over here in the desert, which is the whole purpose of this speech of Moshe saying that no, and that's why he's talking to this new generation. He's telling the new generation this speech to tell them, just notice how it was so easy for such a great generation to all lose focus and to just forget who they are and where they're supposed to be. It's just like total, I'm afraid to say it, but total insanity on this national level. It's like the story that Rav Nachman tells about the son of the prince who thought that he was a rooster. Yeah, thought he was a rooster. What you have over here is total misidentity of who we are. That we totally forgot who we are, where we're supposed to be going, and that's what Moshe's speech is. Now, when you realize the elements which are involved in this, and you realize now that Emunah got brought into this, then you have to pause and say, so now hold it a second. Moshe just now used this phrase in his speech, Dvar Hazem Einu Maminim Bashem Elokeichem. There's this lack of Emunah. So now where does the lack of Emunah come from? Now again, the easiest thing in the world is to blame Moshe. What is Moshe telling them? Again, why is there a lack of Emunah? Because Moshe failed. Moshe didn't give them their sustenance. What did Moshe say? I can't do this by myself. So what does God say? Correct. You need other people. Moshe needs to be held up. Moshe needs to be lifted up. If not, Moshe will be crushed by this entire generation of people. He can't do this by himself. But what ends up happening? You end up having this generation that appoints other people, but the other people not only, again, going back to the metaphor of Hur and Aaron, not only do they not hold up Moshe's hands, and whereby therefore Moshe's hands can be amunah, but what do they do instead? They go completely against the wishes, the will, the teaching, and the dreams of Moshe. And what do? And they say the opposite. And they say, the land is a terrible land, and the land is not for us, and God wants us there so that he can kill us, and therefore this whole thing was a terrible, terrible mistake. And at that point, what happens? At that point happens is that Moshe is not being lifted up anymore. The emunah, in a sense, is no longer flowing. Moshe's arms are not being lifted. Moshe, therefore, loses strength. And at that point, we can now understand that Moshe, within this context, can say, and for me as well, because Moshe without the people becomes somebody who is just no longer Moshe. And therefore, as much as when you look at it, like, what is he talking about? How did he get to this particular point? Why is he saying it over here? I think that's exactly what Moshe is saying, but I'm going to say it again. The key to all of this was the use of one word within this whole thing, and that, again, I want to go backwards and just show you how we did this. It was in source number one in Pasuk Lamed Bet, Uvdavar hazeh einem chamaminim b'Hashem Elokeichem. It was on this matter you don't believe in God. What does it mean on this matter? This matter could mean, as Rashi said, belief in the future, to go forward, belief in the destiny. That's certainly a part of it. What else could it mean? You don't believe in what happened in the past, which, by the way, is bizarre. You lived through it. You didn't believe in that. Or, what does it mean? You didn't believe, and that's what the Netziv did for us. It took us right back to the beginning of the speech. You didn't believe that we need to now leave the mountain and march directly to the land of Israel. You just didn't believe that it was possible. Again, it's not so different from Rashi, but what is different about it is that he did take us back to the beginning of the speech. And at that beginning of the speech, what happened? In the beginning of the speech is where Moshe said, and I just can't do this by myself. Why is Moshe bringing that in right over here? Because that, again, Moshe is giving us a very interesting commentary on Sefer Bamidbar. That's what he really is doing over here. He's taking the whole book of Bamidbar and he's putting it into one chapter and saying, okay, in case you never saw what's taking place over here, let me explain. We left Sinai, it did not work out well the way we left. What was the first thing that didn't work out well? First thing. Now this is a commentary on Sefer Shemot. What was the first thing? We were there too long. What a commentary on Sefer Shemot that was. We were only supposed to be there for a short amount of time. What was the destination? Go back to the snare. What was the destination by the snare? Straight to the land of Israel. What does Moshe keep saying by the snare? But they're not going to believe. But they're not going to believe. And they're not going to believe. So who is right? So God says, okay, but you show them this, and they'll believe. But if not, you show them this. And if not, you show them this. And so what happened? But Moshe's sense was correct. They're not going to believe. But now you understand the complexity of that belief. Yeah, but they believe. It tells us so many times they believe. They believe, and again they believe, and again they believe, and again they believe. But what's the problem? Exactly. The problem is sustaining that belief. And by the way, even, you know, no atheists in a foxhole, even during the time of war. So what's going on? Is Moshe leading them to pray, or their belief going to help Moshe keep his arm? Meaning, which direction is it going? And Moshe's arms are the emunah, but Moshe needs the support. Without Moshe's support, without the support of the people, what are you left with? Regular, conventional warfare led by Yehoshua. What happens? When we finally leave Egypt, leave Sinai, who's the one who understands this perfectly? Moshe. And he says to God, am I the Omein? And what does God say again? Yes. What's the purpose of the Omein? To give. To give emunah to the people. But what does Moshe say that God agrees, but I can't do this by myself? I need a support staff. And it's important for someone to say when they can't do it by themselves, I need a support staff. And what ends up happening, and that's the key, the support staff doesn't only not help, the support staff destroys what is going on. Which means if I ask, so why is it that the delays took place? Why is it we ended up 40 years in the desert? And again, when you want to go backwards and point, you know, fingers, it's very easy. And especially this week, especially during the 9 days, especially a couple days before Tisha B'Av, you see all the elements right here in his speech. He hints at it, doesn't say it all clearly. First thing is he spent too much time in the mountain. Why did he spend too much time in the mountain? Because you were impatient. But whether you like that, you spent too much time in the mountain because you were impatient. Why are you impatient? Because you couldn't wait another half a day for Moshe to come down. So when you made it, you made an egel azov instead. Why did you end up spending too much time? Because you're impatient. So when you're impatient, you end up making a mistake and then having to spend a lot more time over here. So the first thing that God, that's how the speech begins. As I said, unbelievable commentary in the book of Shemot. You spent too much time on this mountain. Okay. So now the question is, how do we leave? We spent too much time. There were never supposed to be that much time. It was a stopover. Right? You ever fly any place? The stopover is not supposed to last for 40 years. This was a stopover where they're supposed to get the Torah and move on. And we ended up being impatient, and then we spent too much time there. And that impatience, what a nice way of Moshe saying right here, look at the whole sin of the golden calf, you spent too much time on this mountain. But then now the question is, how do we leave that mountain? And Perek Yotet, it said, you know, they're going to believe in you forever. Right? Emunah. They're going to believe in you forever. And we do. We still believe that God spoke today. We still believe that God spoke to Moshe. It's just that we still believe it today. The only problem is, do we believe it every minute, every day? And do we remember it? And do we remember it as we lead our lives? Do we remember it all through the day? And do our entire people remember it? I mean, those are the questions. And we believe in Moshe. But Moshe is going to give it. Moshe will take care of us. But Moshe says, I can't do it by myself. And it's that failure of the rest of the leadership which Moshe is pointing out over here. And what ends up, Lo himantim b'Hashem, you didn't believe. By the way, you can now say, you didn't believe, so Moshe fails. But the people didn't lift up his arms, and that's what he's saying over here. And because they didn't do it, this whole generation can't go into the land of Israel. And if this whole generation can't go into the land of Israel, Moshe is a part of this generation. Moshe can't go in with them either. And therefore Moshe can say truthfully, and therefore I as well cannot go in. Because what Moshe is pointing out over here, and that's exactly the issue. What is Moshe pointing out? The symbiotic relationship between Moshe and the Jewish people. That Moshe lifts them and they lift him. But if they don't lift him, then he doesn't lift them. And if they end up staying, then he ends up staying as well. And that's exactly the point over here. And where does it all come down to? It comes down to that point of Emunah. And now you can understand that when Moshe fails with the rock and hit the rock, speak to the rock, how is it described? It's lohimantambi. You did not give over to them what they needed in this situation. Of course, why did he not give over to them? Because they were overwhelming. And again, that whole support system, where is it? Despite, you know, appointing others, but where is it? Lohimantambi. You did not give them the emunah that they needed. They did not get the sustenance they needed in that part. So Moshe didn't give them what they needed. So you're not able to continue. It's this lack of emunah. But over here, Moshe is saying, but you had the lack of emunah, and that's why I can't go in. Both sides are true. And therefore, what we're really learning over here is that metaphor of Moshe lifting up his arms and supporting the people, but the people holding up Moshe's arms and supporting Moshe, and what are Moshe's arms called in that case? The emunah. That, I think, is really the issue which takes us all the way through all those cases. And with this understanding, we can now understand what is it that Moshe said and how what he said over here is just absolutely correct and now makes far more sense. And that's what I'm saying, is that we can try to read these things out of context, or we can read these things in the proper context. And we read them in the proper context, I think then they take on a whole different complexion and have much more understanding. Kaved, right? What Naomi said quietly before you didn't hear is that the word kaved, heaviness, also comes all the way across through the texts.